Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hello and welcome to Pop Everything, a pop culture podcast about everything. I'm one of your hosts, Tim.
And I'm Tom.
And Tom, let's get right into it.
All right.
We have a very special guest this week. We have a guest this week.
Well, they're special in that they're the only one.
Yeah, I don't know. I've met a lot of people like her. Oh, Christine, how do you want to be introduced?
My name's Christine.
Oh, it's Christine. A dear friend.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
You're on Twitter.
Right, I'm Hot Dog Burger.
At Hot Dog Burger. Do you like that everything was cool and then as soon as we started recording, I started being mean to you?
Yeah, it kind of started right away.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
It's okay.
We'll edit all this out.
Well, Christine, thank you for being here.
Sure.
Can we call you Femmes?
Sure.
Do I have to bleep that out now?
No, that's okay.
Okay.
That's okay.
Good.
We've been friends for how long?
8 years.
8 years.
8 years this September.
Are you better friends with me or better friends with Tom?
I'd rather not say.
Mm. Ah. Well, I mean, you've known Tim longer.
Yeah. Yeah, it's probably Tim.
No. I don't know. We all met on the same night at AJ's birthday party.
I don't think I met Tom that night.
What do you know? You didn't go to AJ's birthday party 8 years ago?
Yeah, do you remember?
No, I don't. Where was it?
There were like scorpion bowls. It was at that summer camp place.
Oh, yeah. I've been there. I don't know if it was that time.
I don't think I met you that day. I met Tim.
I think that was one of the nights back then. Like sometimes you would like get fall down drunk by like 7:30.
Who, Christine?
No, you, Tom.
No, I've always been
I seem
reserved.
To remember you being like you being so drunk that like it was very out of character that I was like, I'm gonna go make other friends now.
And you did. You came right.
Well,
up.
So in that way, you kind of have me to thank that you're even a friend of ours.
Well, it worked because Tim came right up to me and my friend who were new to the neighborhood and was like, I am your neighbor and I have a Nintendo Wii and we should be friends.
That's what Tim said.
That's what Tim said.
Yeah.
How did I know I was your neighbor? Somebody must have tipped me off.
Well, because you were AJ's.
Spilled the beans.
No, you weren't AJ's roommate, but your
no,
friend was.
My friend was AJ's roommate. Yeah.
Man, we've been talking about this for a long time.
Yeah,
huh?
And all these people are like, "I downloaded this to hear about Dolly Parton." Goddammit.
But I think it's interesting to know that, like Tim, who's not really that much of a guy who goes up to strangers to make new friends, like made new friends and it worked.
Yeah, that was the last time he did it.
Yep.
Well, now I got all the friends I need. I have too many friends. I'm trying to cut some loose.
Uh-oh. Is this why you brought me here today?
We're bringing them on one
by
one.
We'll see how the episode goes.
Yeah, exactly.
It's only fair.
So every week, not every week.
Every couple of months or
once
so.
Once a year, it seems
every
like.
Episode, we bring somebody in and say, hey, what do you know about, what do you like?
That we don't
either know about or like.
Mm-hmm. Mostly not know about. If we know something and we don't like it, then that's not fun.
Well, Tom, you mm-hmm. especially are the type of guy, things you don't know about, you also hate.
Yeah, distrusting.
You're very close-minded.
No.
Curmudgeonly.
No.
Racist.
Well, that took a leap.
Yeah, that doesn't feel true.
Curmudgeon and racist? No?
No.
You're actually a more of a curmudgeon than
you're
Tom.
Actually more of a racist. Yeah, no, Tim, you're famous for being an internet curmudgeon.
I think that's overstated. I think that's a lazy characterization, and I think we should move on. So,
tender.
So I was like, Christine, we got to get you on the show.
Mm-hmm.
It's a friendship test.
Oh, I didn't know that.
What do you want us to?
What are you passionate about, yeah, pop culture wise?
Frankly, I'm passionate about a lot of things.
Well, no, I wasn't asking now.
Oh, it was rhetorical.
I was recounting how we we approached you.
Yeah, but Tom, she was telling you.
But I also wasn't done.
She was doing an improvisation scene with
yes,
you.
And.
Now I forget what I was saying. But anyway, we were like, yeah, what are you passionate about that me and Tim, you know, might not know a lot about?
Well, and I feel like mine is niche within a niche because literally everyone loves Dolly Parton and knows her music and wants to be her or be related to her. I think that's universal.
That's why everybody's so jealous of Miley Cyrus.
Yeah, one of the reasons.
Because that's his her goddaughter, right?
Yeah, Dolly is Miley's godmother. I guess not formally in the church, but informally socially.
So it doesn't count.
Counts. I think it counts. It's pretty well known. Anyway, so what I said is let's talk about some of her films.
Mm-hmm.
So
Dolly Parton.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Has Miley Cyrus been in any films?
Yeah, I'm sure. Like a little
Hannah Montana
cameo here. I'm sure there was a Hannah Montana movie.
There was, and I did some research for this episode, Tom and Christine.
And Dolly's in it?
Dolly's character, who appeared on Hannah Montana as her like
that
fairy godmother or something, written out of the movie. She was in an early draft,
mm-hmm,
did not make the cut. I'm not sure if she ever filmed it.
Kind of a burn.
Yeah.
It's kind of a burn. Well, so we're not talking about the Hannah Montana film.
Mm-mm.
We're going to talk about two
films.
Now,
was this the Hannah Montana, the 3D movie that they made? Was this like the concert movie, Tim, or was this like a real
no,
movie?
No, I think this was a narrative movie.
Direct to video, or was...
No, there's probably in that. You don't throw some Hannah Montana movie in some dustbin in the back of a Blockbuster video.
I don't think they have those anymore.
They did
all the more reason.
Yeah.
More dusty. Yeah. Even more dusty.
Anyway. Dolly Parton.
Dolly Parton. She's really exceptional. I don't know. How do we start this thing?
Well, I grew up when I was a little kid.
Mm-hmm.
And this is gonna get crass for a second.
Oh.
But I only knew Dolly Parton as the boobs lady.
Yeah.
That's fresh. That's rough.
No,
I know,
but when you're
but
a little kid, it was like there's a famous lady with big boobs.
Just because you watch Johnny Carson all the time, however
that's
you say
all
that man's
I watched.
Name.
I watched Johnny Carson every night.
Because he was enamored with her from one clip I've seen once.
Really?
I think so.
How so?
He's what like, he wouldn't? He's
ooh, I don't know what to say.
That's like that's one of your okay impressions. No, she was sitting, you know, in the interview chair, and he said something like, "What I wouldn't give to get a glimpse under that blouse," or something.
Wow,
Johnny Carson stunk.
I think he kind of stunk.
Everybody's like, "Ooh, Johnny, you don't say anything about." Well, no, anybody over like 50 is like, "Oh, don't say anything about Johnny." It's like, no. Jerk.
Right, he's just a man.
He said, "What I wouldn't give to get a glimpse under that blouse."
I'm not sure that's the exact quote.
What I wouldn't give to bang my head between those two milkers.
That's definitely not what he said.
I'm pretty sure that Ed McMahon went, "Hey-o!"
Yeah.
No. So we're not really talking about just her body.
No, I don't think we should talk about her body
but
at all.
That's funny because as a child, I was a huge fan of the film Steel Magnolias, which is one of the things we're here to talk about today. And so I saw her as a compassionate hairdresser before I saw her as a country music artist or before I saw her as even, you know,
so
a woman with a
so
hot
So when
butt.
You found out about her music career, you must have been like, wow,
this
she
gal,
really did it.
This gal does everything.
She turned that part in an ensemble into a gigantic career and a theme park.
Yeah. Which have you ever been?
No, I've never been to Dollywood.
No, I'd love to go to Dollywood.
I've been
Do you
to
think
Dollywood.
The rides are good? Are the rides
I've been,
good?
I've been to Dollywood and I'm here to tell you the rides are exceptional.
You know what? I was reading a thing. I forget how I came.
A thing, huh?
It was a Wikipedia article about some new roller coaster. And it was like, this was, you know, 2015, like roller coaster of the year. But then it had like I followed that Wikipedia rabbit hole down to that award, whatever commission. And
OK,
but it was like Dollywood had number one in hospitality, and it was like 5 years running.
Well, Southern Hospitality, right there.
And here's the thing: it's like they have exceptional rides. They also have a whole experience. There are blacksmiths. There are turkey legs.
No.
There are
It's
not like that. It's not like that. It's perfect. It's perfect.
So it's an it's also got the most boring parts of a Renaissance festival.
No, it has the best parts of life.
Those turkey legs are the worst at theme parks. Everybody walking around with grease all over their face.
Yeah, I happen to agree with you, but I think it adds an element of like everybody can do whatever they want. That's what Dolly is about. And you can make donations to the Imagination Library.
What's the Imagination Library?
I'm not 100% sure, but I think it has to do with, I know it has to do with literacy. I think it has to do with like giving children a book a month until they're in kindergarten or something.
That's pretty good.
Mm. It's definitely books.
Isn't that just like a regular library?
No, I think it gets sent to their house.
So I got a delivery library.
Yeah, it's like a delivery library.
Netflix for books, they call it, right?
Or like a wine of the month club, but books.
But for children.
And for
books.
Free. Children and books and free.
Where it's in Tennessee?
Yeah, it's in the Great Smoky Mountains.
Now, is that hard to get to?
I don't think so. I went there.
How did you get there?
I made it there in a car. I went there in a car.
Did you go there just to... You went to Tennessee just to see Dollywood?
Well, no. I was on...
Tennessee, great state, by
great
the way.
Great state.
One of my favorite states.
And you're fresh out of Nashville right now.
Yeah. Tom, your dog...
My dog's from Tennessee.
From Tennessee. My potential dog is from Tennessee. Yeah.
And I've been to Dollywood.
You think there's a lot of people down there mad that all these Yanks are stealing their dogs?
Probably.
Maybe they didn't mistreat their dogs so much.
I was on a cross-country road trip, and we made a point of stopping in Dollywood. This was in a year I'd rather not say for how long ago it was.
Okay.
1885.
Yeah, it was in the late 1800s.
You don't want to date yourself?
That's why there were blacksmiths. It was authentic to the era. No, and we stopped there, and it was great, and I went with a friend who was afraid of roller coasters, but we still rode the roller coasters.
You were going to say a friend who was afraid of Dolly Parton.
No, she went on the roller coasters because of how not afraid of Dolly Parton she was.
She trusted. You know what? If Dolly Parton has these roller coasters here, then she must have checked them out.
And once I saw a special on
and
the
if
Travel
she
Network.
She could go on them with those huge knockers.
That's rude. Once I saw a special on the Travel Network about, or the Travel Channel, whatever, about how one of the roller coasters, like, design was based on the curves of Dolly's body.
Whoa.
Hello.
Look, she owns it. She's allowed to do whatever she wants, right?
My feet are so small because nothing grows in the shade.
That's what she said.
That is what
Dolly
she said.
Dolly Parton.
quite honestly, yes.
Yeah. All right, so you were just like, we'll focus on the films of Dolly Parton.
Right.
Because, like, if you had said Dolly Parton, I would have said, hey, Femmes.
You're already there
with
it.
Do me a favor. Go screw.
You're preaching to the choir, Femmes.
Get out of my face. Go throw yourself down the stairs.
You know, I read in researching this, speaking of, like, her music career, that she wrote Jolene and I Will Always Love You in the same day.
Same dang
day. Geez, call it a day.
That's Dolly, everybody.
Yeah, call it, you know what?
That's a career.
Yeah.
Here's the thing.
Summer Friday.
That is kind of a career because, Tom, what other Dolly Parton songs do you know?
Oh.
Like, I like to think, like, oh, yeah, I'm a big fan of Dolly Parton. I brought...
You know what? She has that, well, I guess it's not a problem, of, like, a lot of the songs that are hers, I almost assume are country standards.
Yeah, but like what recording? Like, here's the thing. I feel
I'm saying not her versions of country standards, like songs that she wrote
forever.
Heard forever. I've heard 10 other people do them, but it's like, oh no, that's her song.
I think one of the only songs that was successful that she didn't write was Here You Come Again, which is, by the way, an awesome song.
That she didn't write?
Yeah.
She didn't write Islands in the Stream either.
Oh.
Come on now.
Well,
I'm
I
an
said
island
I think
in,
one
in
up,
the stream
so.
Maniac.
If you roll back the tape, you'll see that I didn't say anything untrue.
And I didn't mean to knock her music.
And she's a great songwriter.
Yeah, she's great. And everything. It was weird because I was listening to her 16 biggest hits on the way over here, and I was like, I know five of these songs.
No, they're all hits. I bet they're all hits.
Here You Come Again. Good song.
An amazing song. Used to be my ringtone.
9 to 5. Never heard of it.
That's not true.
Jolene.
The best song ever.
Islands in the Stream.
Great song.
I Will Always Love You. That's it for me.
Okay, keep going. I want to see which
ones
about, I know.
What about Enter Sandman?
I'm pretty sure I know. That's actually Metallica.
Yeah, that's Metallica.
Really?
How awkward.
Yeah.
Huh.
Ooh.
She did do something like that. Did she do a version of that? She recently did a version of like a metal song or something.
Are you thinking of Shine by Collective Soul?
Yes. A really awesome
that's
metal song.
Yeah. Pretty cutting edge, rough metal song.
The Seeker?
Yeah. I Am the Seeker is one of the lyrics.
Yeah. Code of Many Colors.
Have you ever listened to that without crying?
Yeah. Well, I mean, well,
I don't
her
think
mom
I've ever
made
heard
her
it,
a
so,
coat.
Yeah.
Tom, here's what happens. Her mom makes her a coat out of rags.
Mm-hmm.
She wears it.
And the kids make fun of her, but she's warm because she's loved.
Yeah.
It's really, it's truly,
must,
a,
hey,
it's
hey,
truly
Tom,
powerful
song. Hey, Tom, take a lot of rags, right?
Oh, jeez. Must have had to go to the rag factory. Get all those rags.
That's not how it works.
Was Dolly, true or false, Christine?
Let's
Dolly
hear it.
Parton was raised at a rag factory.
False.
And that's where mom got all those rags for all her coats.
That's one of my favorite things at Dollywood is you get to go to her Tennessee mountain home, which she's recreated as a multimedia experience. You get a little wet.
Wait, what?
Splashed. You get splashed.
I beg your pardon?
Grow up.
Wait, why do you get splashed?
I didn't come here.
Either way, it's a little distressing.
No one told me this show was so blue.
Hey, you just keep saying things.
Wait, why do you get splashed in our house?
I can't remember. I remember the experience, but I don't remember what it was supposed to be evoking.
All right.
The river? Maybe the
broken
river?
Broken sink?
Rain? I can't remember.
Christine, you have a serial killer's notebook full of notes for these two movies.
Yes,
that
you
that
well.
Is a Dolly Parton notebook.
Thank you for noticing. Yeah.
Well, you showed it to us.
Yeah.
It's a notebook made from a record cover.
It's a notebook made from her skin.
I wish. That's a joke. Dolly,
her
if you're
toenail
listening,
clippings.
That's a joke.
And you brought it in a Dolly Parton tote bag?
True.
And you emailed us earlier that you were distressed that you could not find your Dolly Parton beer koozie.
That's true.
This morning.
Some people say cozy, but that's true.
Yeah, I say koozie.
Yeah, I go back and forth. I honestly go back and forth.
I say cozy.
Really? I save cozy for what I get with my loved ones.
Whoa, we're like
no,
the
I just
three
mean
bears.
Like in a country house. You know what I mean? Get cozy in a comfy house. I don't want to bring beer into it.
Yeah, well, I have a Dolly Parton cozy that I couldn't find. I couldn't find before I left the house this
sad
morning.
Sad story.
How many times have you seen Dolly? This is all preliminary. How many times have you seen her live?
Twice.
In New York or in
no,
other
once,
places?
No, once in a Connecticut casino. Actually, both times in Connecticut. Once in a Connecticut casino.
Mm-hmm.
And then once in like the middle of the woods, there was this roundabout theater kind of. Where I saw her from about 6 rows away.
Holy shit.
It was the actual best thing that's ever happened to
did
me.
She play the saxophone? Did she play a yakety sax
she
on
did
a
not.
Soprano saxophone?
She didn't play
a
yakety sax, and she unfortunately took a lot of breaks. I think she was getting quite tired. And she was really pushing her movie, which was about to come out at the time, Joyful Noise.
Mm, so.
Which I didn't have you watch, but it's great.
Is it great?
It's great.
So what you're telling us is that... she's lazy and self-promoting.
She's in her 60s. And yes.
She's not older than that?
She's 69, I think. She may have turned 70.
What did I tell you about the blue stuff? Enough is enough.
It's her actual age. I'm not going to skip the year just because you have a rotten mind.
Tom, that is the most accurate description of Tom. a man with a rotten mind.
That's true. I've known him 8 years.
So you had us watch her first film.
Yes, 9 to 5.
That was her first film?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I'll tell you what, one of my notes about this movie, which is kind of not apropos of the plot, so I'll say it before we get into it, is that she was 34 when she did that movie.
Yeah, because she's not an actress. I mean, she is now an actor, but like
34
she
isn't too late to start a new career.
That's darn tootin'.
It is, Tim.
I won't say how old I am, but that's true.
Well, no, and she looked younger, and she was playing younger, right? Kind of?
I mean, she was playing a hot mama. I don't think it mattered how old
she was.
Well, she
wasn't a mama. She didn't have kids.
I mean, as in like a hot babe.
Yeah, but it was still like a woman who was like just starting her career.
Yeah, but
like she was new to The Office, right?
I'm not sure if you watched the film, but
she
some people
she wasn't new to The Office.
No,
Tom.
Yeah, she wasn't.
She
yeah,
was somewhat
you're
new
of
though.
Jane Fonda.
I
did
know
you think
that Jane Fonda was new?
Do you think Jane Fonda's character was played by Dolly Parton? Do you know what Dolly Parton looks like?
She's beautiful.
Tim, I know what Dolly Parton looks like, and I know what Hanoi Jane looks like.
Oh Christ. I'm prepared also to talk a lot about the Vietnam War. Working 9 to 5, what a way to make a living, barely getting by. It's all taking and no giving. They just use your mind and they never give you credit. It's
enough. All right, 9 to 5. We'll start at the beginning.
Tumble out of bed.
9 o'clock.
Stumble to the kitchen.
What came first, the song or the movie?
The movie. She wrote the song for the movie. And
well, I don't know, because the movie starts with the song, so maybe they came at the same time.
I don't know how to tell you this.
Maybe
they don't film. Actually, that's something that Dolly Parton didn't know. She thought they filmed the scenes consecutively, and she also memorized everyone's lines, including her own.
And did she also think that it would only take an hour and a half to make the movie?
She might have thought that. That I'm not sure of. She's a very smart woman, though, so don't act like she's some dumb blonde.
I learned my lesson from Dabney Coleman.
But that's the whole thing.
I learn all my lessons.
Oh, that's terrible.
I learn all my lessons by watching Dabney Coleman get his comeuppance.
Well, in that case. And you perceived her as young, right? Because mm-hmm. everyone was kind of ostracizing her and attributing all these qualities to her because of her body and because of how she was treated by her boss that weren't really earned by her behavior. Because what she was a dutiful employee.
Yeah.
A beautiful dutiful employee.
Well, and she was just very nice too.
She's
which
very
it seemed
nice.
Like,
and forgiving of I forget his name, but forgiving of Dabney Coleman's advances
to a point
until she wasn't anymore.
Until she snapped.
Actually, the song
Mr. Hart, Franklin Hart.
Franklin Hart. Thank
you. I think I probably mentioned this on me and Tim do another podcast.
You do?
Yeah.
Is that why you have all these microphones?
No, that has nothing to do with it.
Oh, that's for karaoke.
It's mostly karaoke nights in this.
But I'm always amazed.
The lighting is right.
The thing that happened all the time, I feel like, in the 80s that does not happen at all anymore. Mm-hmm. Songs about work.
What else? What other songs about work can
you
think of?
I don't want to work.
Yeah. Everybody's working for the weekend.
You're right.
Just another manic Monday.
Yeah, that's true.
And there are no more, this guy, The Weeknd, he came out. I was like, finally, a song about a whole guy whose his whole thing is about everybody's
it's
excited
Friday.
About the weekend. It's Friday.
Back.
But then his song's about cocaine.
Yeah.
So 9 to 5,
mm-hmm.
great film. But the thing about 9 to 5 is it's a trio. It's not just Dolly.
Mm-hmm.
It's American hero Lily Tomlin.
Mm-hmm.
It's Jane Fonda was the one who got that movie made, because she wanted to tell a story about women going back to the workforce after being divorced, which was happening in great number at that time.
Mm.
Her husband was a dweeb.
Ted Turner?
No, in the film. Do you mean in the film?
Oh.
Yeah, and Ted Turner.
Oh, you meant Ted Turner.
Was she married
to Ted Turner at that time? In the film.
That I don't know.
Anyway, let's go. I took notes as I watched it for the first time.
Okay, let's hear it.
Should we go through the plot as we do this?
Yeah, I guess a little bit. Well, maybe if people haven't seen it.
Yeah, have your listeners seen 9 to 5?
Probably not all of them.
All right.
You should watch it.
Fade in.
The opening credits are out of this world. I was relating to the opening credits so hard.
Well,
all the bed slapstick.
No, what?
No, it's like
it's
80s
commuting.
New York.
It's like
80s. It's commuting, but then like somebody's holding a coffee and they go to check their watch and like spill their coffee on their shoes and like
that
it's
was
like
very relatable in my opinion.
Yeah, I guess you are a klutz.
Oh, there's a dog in here.
So my note for the opening montage, which was, you know, people in the 80s. 1980? 1980, this movie was.
1980.
Oh, wow. I thought it was a little bit later.
Everyday life in 1980 was depressing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, but
none,
you think
none
that
of
about
us were around yet.
You think that about literally everything though, right?
Well, everything old, Tim. Everything old and foreign. Tim,
everything old and most things contemporary.
No,
Tim
no, 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 no. The old thing doesn't hold water. North by Northwest is one of my favorite movies.
Yeah, because there's just a lot of trains in it.
Yeah, you like trains very much.
And I like going to hotels and sending my suit down to the dry cleaners from there. It's something that I assume I like. I'd never have the opportunity right. to do so.
That is very little to do with Dolly Parton.
Do hotels offer that service anymore? Can I call the front desk and be like, I'd like to send my suit down for dry cleaning?
I think you can still do that, yeah.
You can have them do regular laundry
it's just,
for you.
People
it's very expensive, though.
And people don't wear suits anymore, so you wouldn't know. You
business
never worn a suit.
Do. And business women.
Thanks for noticing.
Well, no. This movie led me to believe that there's businessmen and secretaries.
Did you watch it to the end? Did
well,
you see the whole thing?
I mean, it turned into some sort of fever dream by some women's lib fever dream.
Oh, let's
start. All right, so let's start at the beginning. Yeah. It's a montage. They're going, you know, everybody's going to work. It's presumably before 9.
Right.
We're following Jane Fonda, Hanoi Jane. She.
I want you to stop calling her that, like, actually for real, though.
She. It's her first day on the job.
Right, because she's been
divorced. What the hell does this company do? Do they ever really explain?
Tom, business.
Yeah,
dunce.
I guess it's just a business company. Yeah.
They have a lot of accounts, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, business accounts. Guys, were you not watching the movie? Of course.
So if she's recently divorced, she's presumably never had to work before, or never had to like work 9 to 5, never had to work 40 hours a week.
Right, a reality for many women at that time.
How'd she get this job?
Well, didn't you see the part where the male guy was like, oh, how am I ever going to get anywhere at this
place
the black
if I keep
man. Hiring from people from outside? Yeah,
yeah,
I like that. It showed additional perspectives, right? She
kind
got the job
of.
Because
it
she's
showed
an office
it for
girl.
Like 5 seconds, and then they were all like,
okay.
Get out of here.
Yeah, but he came back at another point, I think. Anyway.
Yeah, no, he like he delivered them the. Like, they picked up the paperwork from him later on. He's like, happy to help you take over this company. I'm still in the mailroom, despite the fact that I clearly do not want to be a mailroom employee.
Yeah.
And you've made concessions.
He's like,
to
I have my
every,
MBA.
Yeah. Every other employee in this company, you've made their dreams come true. And the guy that hates being in the mailroom, still in the goddamn mailroom.
Maybe he's really good at being a mailman.
Maybe.
Doesn't seem like it. His heart's not in it.
His heart's not in it. That's true. But that's the thing. This movie is not without its flaws, but overwhelmingly, it's a great tale.
Okay. So she gets there, and Lily Tomlin.
And a national treasure.
Yeah, all I can think about is that video of her online, though.
Oh, with her screaming in I Heart Huckabees?
Yeah.
I don't think I know about it.
It's like a famous video of Lily Tomlin.
She loses her temper.
Like multiple times.
Well, she loses her temper with David O. Russell, the director of
American O. Hustle.
Huckabees. And then he starts screaming back at her, and it's just two grown adults just screaming at each other for like 15 minutes.
And meanwhile, they just keep the camera running.
But didn't you love her character, Violet?
No. I don't like Lily Tomlin because of that cartoon she had.
What?
Remember that cartoon?
No.
I
hated that cartoon.
Are you sure you're thinking of the right
person?
Yeah,
it was like Little Lily or something.
Oh.
It stunk.
I don't think I know about it. But her character kept getting passed over for raises and for promotions because she was a woman, including by Bob, who got a job because he had a family. Mr. Hart was like, oh, I had to respect the fact that he has a family to support. And Lily Tomlin's a widow.
Well, I'll tell you this much. Maybe
I mean, Violet. Violet was a widow.
Maybe Violet shouldn't have raised her son to be a doper.
Yeah.
Well, some mother she is, huh?
Yeah. Her son was smoking marijuana.
Her son was helping her install the garage door opener. That seems like she raised a kid,
and
right?
And then gave her a marijuana cigarette, a doobie.
Yeah. He probably installed it upside down. Probably kill somebody the first time you go in there.
I don't think it did.
I did like her. The best part about her when they were like, look how capable she is. Was that scene where she was like answering the phone and she's like blah blah blah, and then her kids called and there was a disaster and she was
no, I don't want to talk to the dog.
Best line of the whole, second best line of the whole movie.
What's the first best?
We'll get to it.
Was that when she was talking to her son?
Yeah. On the phone.
He was high on marijuana.
Well, she had a couple kids, okay?
She did?
I think so. It made me think she had a couple kids.
Man.
Anyway, maybe it was one of their business accounts.
Maybe. We'll never know.
On the phone? Trying to put her on the phone with the dog?
Yeah, a dog food company.
Maybe. We don't really know what they did.
Yeah.
So they have a scummy boss, TV's Dabney Coleman, TV's madman of the people.
TV and film's Dabney Coleman.
Real scummy.
And watching this, I was like, Dabney Coleman really carved out a career for himself playing...
slime balls.
The same type of slime ball, which he did, I mean, to his credit, did so well. But has Dabney Coleman ever played... another type of character.
And have you ever heard of another man named Dabney?
No.
I haven't.
Yeah.
That's so...
if you met somebody and they went to shake your hand and they were like, Dabney, you would be like, what?
I'd be like Dabney Coleman? Awesome.
You think that's great? Like,
Dabney?
I mean, you got to understand that Dabney Coleman played these characters.
Oh, I know, but I don't know. I feel like, you're just like Dabney Coleman. That's great. You're saying you made a career out of being a slime ball? I'm
no,
proud of you.
You made a career out of being funny enough to know what's entertaining about slime balls.
Yeah. I mean, he nailed it in this piece.
So
that mustache alone was doing a lot of the work for
him. So then enter Dolly, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And everybody's like, ooh, she's eating alone. Nobody's eating with the pretty girl at lunch. They're like, oh, she's, what did she say? Screwing the boss?
Yeah, I don't remember the
something.
Line
exactly.
That was the
exact euphemism.
Yeah, the assumption was
they made
she was messing around.
They said it in no uncertain terms that because she was like Dabney Coleman's personal secretary, right?
Yeah.
Right.
And then
and because Violet was sent to buy a scarf for Mr. Hart's wife, and then out comes Dora Lee, as played by Dolly Parton, in the scarf that Violet was sent to buy. So it indicates that there's
together.
Something going on.
Oh. Right? About Lily Tomlin being a good employee.
Oh, cripes.
I think the scarf shows that she's not a very good employee.
Because it was not a pretty scarf or what?
Well, no, because he's like, get like a blue with like a stripe on it. The scarf that he gives to Dora Lee that Lily Tomlin bought, nothing at all like he described.
It has blue on it.
Maybe it was a test to see if she could pay attention to details.
Yeah.
Maybe he was about to give her a raise and a promotion.
I don't think
maybe
so.
Bob bought the right scarf for his other
guys,
potential
know.
Mistress.
Guys, I don't think Bob had to buy even one scarf, actually.
Well, unfortunately, nobody's made a man's perspective version of 9 to 5.
Well, if only they had, things would be fair in the world.
what was the next thing I want to talk about? Oh, well, okay. So these three women, what brings them together? I forget.
They're all mad at Dabney Coleman.
Yeah, but.
So Jane Fonda talks to a lady in the bathroom about salaries.
Yeah.
And that stuck up lady.
Yeah.
Was hiding in the bathroom stall and reports that to so he fires the other lady, not Jane Fonda.
Yeah.
But so Jane Fonda's outraged that this other woman was fired just for talking.
And wanting like a flick. Oh, right. That's right.
Right.
And they all go to that bar.
Dolly Parton hates him because he came onto her when he knocked the pens down so he could look at her her ample bosom. From above.
Oh, I didn't notice.
Pervert. What?
I didn't notice she had an ample bosom.
Oh.
I don't see things like that.
And Lily Tomlin was mad because she was passed over. So they're drinking at the bar, and then Lily Tomlin's like, my derelict son gave me a doobie because I'm a bad mom.
Guys, that doesn't make a bad mom.
Okay, so my kid's a drug addict. I'm great at domestic issues.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
I don't care what Nancy Reagan says we should all be doing.
Yeah, that's the First Lady of the United States.
I don't think that Just Say No had come out yet. I
it
think
was
it was
on
still
its way.
The tail end of the Just Say Yes 70s.
That scene where they're all smoking a doobie, That is the longest lasting doobie that it's ever been.
With a lot of hallucinogenic effects.
Yeah. They're smoking one marijuana cigarette for like hours and getting, yeah, and they're hallucinating from it.
Christine, can I tell you something?
What, Tim?
You're one of my best friends in the whole world.
Thanks, Tim.
And I know you really wanted me to watch this movie.
That's right, Tim.
During those three fantasy sequences.
They're a little rough, I'm not going to lie with
they're
you.
They're rough and they're fucking long.
And
I was just like, oh, is this what the movie
yeah,
is?
Yeah, is this it from now on?
I don't want I almost turned the movie off and I was just going to lie and say that I watched it.
It was an adventure of imagination.
Yeah,
the thing
was...
I thought you were going to come at me with is the fact that Dolly's goes too far. The fantasy with Dolly goes too far.
Well, one of
she says
she
dirty
one?
Things about his package,
and she's like, oh, you don't. She's not doing what he does, right? She's going too far with it and forcibly like being physical with him. Where maybe he, I mean, he did that because he wrestled her, right? But it didn't sit well with me when she was like, you know, everything from she hog ties him. Everything after she hog ties him, I can't deal.
You know what?
Does
she have the one where she wants to eat him? Who wants
to
eat
him? Yeah, she puts him on a pig roast.
Yeah. What the hell? What a fucking
Again, too
maniac.
Far. She's trying to forcibly kiss him, which is not something
I can agree with. Well, here's the thing. It's just like I'm so upset with him for treating me as a sexual object. I know what I'll do. I'll have sex with him.
Well,
that'll be the.
But she doesn't have sex with him. She asserts power over him and then cooks him on a stick.
Okay,
and he eats him.
You know what? I stopped paying attention.
She shows him who the real like messed up maniac is.
Yeah, exactly. It's too much. And then Jane Fonda.
Oh, and
is,
also in that in is it in that flashback or the
it's
dream
not a
sequence?
Flashback.
Dream sequence where she shoots a cop too.
I don't
Dolly
think so.
Shoots a cop?
Who shoots a cop?
I have a note that says, Dolly going to shoot cop.
I think
maybe,
that's something you dreamed.
Maybe it's a different thing.
Maybe Tom was smoking a marijuana doobie.
Eee.
Oh, one of those hallucinogenic marijuana
one of those
doobies.
Hallucinogenic.
And then Judy, a.k.a. Jane Fonda, is a hunter, and she chases him and shoots him and then puts his head on the wall.
Yeah.
Goes a little too far, too.
No, yeah. Doesn't she? Who poisons him?
Violet.
Yeah, Jane Fonda.
No, Violet.
No.
Violet is Lily Tomlin.
Oh, right. Okay.
No. So in the fantasy.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Violet is like a Snow White.
I think we might be being a little too thorough with this movie.
Yeah.
I keep hitting my face against the mic.
So it turns out.
Yeah, if
she...
somebody didn't watch this movie, this isn't going to give them a good picture of it.
Yeah, that's probably true.
So, Jane. Lily Tomlin thinks she poisons him. Mm-hmm. She did.
Okay.
Oh yeah, but he didn't drink the coffee.
Yeah.
It's fine.
The chair broke.
Yeah.
Right.
So
the film.
When he's in the hospital, she kidnaps what she thinks is his dead body, but really he's alive and fine.
Yeah.
And then they are gonna shoot a cop. When they get pulled over by the cop,
oh,
Dolly
that's
Parton's
what it
gonna...
is. Dolly's got the gun out. She's gonna give it to the cop.
That's
just
true.
for being in the wrong place at the
wrong
time.
Just us talking about this.
And now there's sirens.
The cops are here.
I think that the scene in the hospital is hilarious. It goes so far and is outrageous. And Lily Tomlin finds one of those white coats and she steals a body and
mm-hmm.
like that's absurd.
I haven't seen the movie Horrible Bosses, but is Horrible Bosses 9 to 5?
I'm sure it is.
It kind of sounds like it is.
It seems like because
I could see Dolly Parton sounds like a real Charlie Day in this situation. Like she's the one who's got the like, yeah, you know, I'm gonna cook him and eat him. A cop's asking us questions. Oh, I'll shoot him. I'll kill him.
But who among us hasn't pictured cooking and eating their boss? I'm kidding.
I've watched the beginning of Horrible Bosses, mm-hmm. and Jennifer Aniston sexually harasses Charlie Day in very much the same manner that Dabney Coleman harasses.
Maybe it is a riff on 9 to 5.
Look at that. I think.
Sounds like they made 9 to 5 for men.
Oh.
I'll have to watch this Horrible Bosses and Horrible Bosses too.
Yeah, I guess so.
So everything's fine. They don't shoot a cop.
Mm-hmm.
They get away. Dabney Coleman's not dead. They figure out, what a silly mistake. Something
they return the body.
Only three giggly ladies could ever.
Oh dear.
They're like, we're in the clear, and they're talking about it. And then this lady, sold out by one of their own, yeah, a lady in the bathroom, overhears them, tells Dabney Coleman this. Dabney Coleman freaks out, and he's like, I want Dolly Parton to be my mistress for real, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then she refuses, and then
she threatens to turn him from a rooster into a hen with one shot.
Shoot his wiener and bees off.
Bees.
That's, I don't actually even think I understand that.
With one shot?
Well, I mean, that was like
a...
I was hearing a
bee, like a bumblebee.
No, I mean, that was like a six shooter. That would blow a hole through you. Also, she's shooting the gun like 90 seconds after everybody left for work. There's no way people wouldn't have heard.
Right.
Right. Gunshots.
But it's not Dolly that shoots. It's Jane Fonda that shoots. Because Dolly, I think, ties him up. And then she's like, oh, no, I've done something terrible. Yeah. How am I going to deal with this? You watch him, Judy.
A lot of gunplay in this movie.
More than I remembered.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of guns.
So then they falsely imprison him in like a S&M outfit.
Right.
Things get like overtly sexualized.
Think so. I mean, I think they give him that sort of S&M setup, but they're making sure he's comfortable. They're checking everything's not too tight, and then they hook him up to the garage door opener thing.
Best line of the movie comes at 1 hour and 16 minutes in when they're trying to figure out what to do with him. And it just cuts awkwardly. They're like, what do we do? And it's like, I don't know. In the bedroom. And then it cuts to them sitting around, and Dolly's on the couch, and she goes, I say we hire a couple of wranglers to go upstairs and beat the shit out of them. It was such an awkward cut and such a brilliant delivery. Like, I was like, oh, shit. Dolly Parton is the funniest person in this movie.
Yeah. Definitely.
And she's hilarious. You know what the thing is? This is what Dolly brings.
Let's hear it.
You can be crass.
Yes.
You can be a little mean,
mm-hmm,
or sassy,
mm-hmm,
right? But like, there, people are always on your side. I don't know what it is.
You can lean towards your cannibalistic instincts.
Yeah, but it's still like, it's always charming, and you know that she's always got the best intentions in her heart.
But not everybody's on her side for the first half of the film. No one sits with her at lunch.
No, the women hate her.
Yeah, and even the new girl is like predisposed to dislike her because everyone's distrusting of her because she has this body, mostly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something I can relate to.
It's like middle school.
And the accent, I think.
Do you think that's part of it?
I think so, yeah.
And the musician boyfriend, right?
Mm. Husband.
Whatever.
And I think I read that was like a friend of hers husband, and she felt nervous to kiss him on screen.
Whoa. He's barely in it. He's in like two scenes.
And he's like, honey, why don't you smile? And I'm like,
I think if you're... It's different, a stranger on the street telling you to smile, than your husband being like, oh, you're in a bad mood. Why don't you cheer up and smile?
Yeah, it's different, but it still made me go,
Another thing.
It's just what I'm like.
Another thing that's not believable about this movie.
Okay.
Is stuffing things in people's mouths doesn't work in real life to keep them quiet.
Don't they give him like a...
They put the scarf in his mouth. They give him a gag ball later, but at first they just like stuff a scarf in his mouth.
Yeah, but when you don't have hands to take it out, how are you supposed to spit it out? Tim, let's
and spit it out.
Let's find one of his ties, stick it in his mouth.
Or you could just scream still with a scarf in your mouth.
I don't know. I'm going to be honest, I don't know.
It was like a silk scarf. It would not.
If they tied it around like a gag.
Even that, I don't think it only works to a certain degree.
I'm trying to imagine spitting it out, and I think it could get stuck.
Yeah, I don't think you know.
Yeah, how do you
know? I mean,
know
I guess
someone?
I haven't been tied up that often.
Yeah.
Oh.
What, Christine?
Overshare. He said that often.
Yeah, it's true. I haven't. If I said, I've been tied up a lot, then that would be
okay.
Something scandalous.
I'm getting really uncomfortable.
Yeah, let's sum this up.
So Mr. Hart is tied up in a way, and then they sort of decide to make like he's left on purpose, mm-hmm. and then they start all these initiatives because Dorley, as played by Dolly Parton, knows how to sign his name, and the first thing they do is let's allow people to have personal effects on their desk, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the very next thing they do
Tchotchkes. Is
equal pay for equal work, right? Wasn't that the next thing? I'm pretty sure I wrote it down. Yeah, office decor, and then equal pay for equal work. And then the next thing they do...
Yeah, typical. That's the way a woman would prioritize it.
Well, that's
first,
garbage.
I got to have all my tchotchkes on my desk.
Yeah, well, tchotchkes are important. But once they realize they could put their coffee cups on their desk, they realized
they
could also...
It wasn't coffee cups. It was pictures.
No, it was also coffee cups, too.
Coffee cups?
Yeah.
Oh, like personal coffee
no,
cups.
No, like you couldn't even have anything
well,
that was...
Well, where were they going to drink coffee?
Before or after their shift.
Well, that's baloney.
That's part of the problem. And then equal pay for equal work. And then it was a daycare center so that working mothers could stay the whole day. And then it was what? Flex time? Is that right? Flexible schedules, half days.
And then
work share.
Job sharing, exactly. And then it seems like the sixth thing was to be able to send people to rehab.
I think the sixth thing was, but still keep the black guys in the mailroom.
Yeah, no, like, this all these only applied to white people, of course.
No, there were. I don't think that's true at all. And there was the man in the wheelchair.
Oh, yeah, that was yeah, that was tokenism at its worst.
Yeah, that was like.
I found it moving.
When he comes back,
I found it a little
bit
like, stirring.
What is this? A man in a wheelchair?
Able to do
just
a job?
In the middle of the frame, there's just a man
not
in a
the
wheelchair.
Middle. Honestly, it's the front of the frame.
Yeah, just like wheeling down as Dabney Coleman's like, what the hell? Hell is going on in
I believe he says, holy shit.
Yeah.
Holy shit, a man in a wheelchair?
But then he turned to them and said, well, good luck. Good job, ladies, not promoting any black people out of the mailroom. It's nice to see at least there's
well,
still
all right.
white people.
Well, at
faces.
Least we can agree on one thing.
There were absolutely not only white people. It was
a man
a
in a wheelchair in a desk job at an office.
It is a problem that they didn't promote that man, but I don't think it was an anti-black thing. Oh, God.
Oh, no, you're upset now.
Always. it was a feminist utopia, that office space.
Still seemed like a real shitty place to work.
But their productivity was up. People
they
were
didn't
happier.
Even have any computers.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. That was a real sort of time machine aspect of this film, right? The Xerox was like a whole mm-hmm. room.
Yeah.
Yeah. That machine was the size of a log flume.
Which they have at Dollywood, yeah. I think.
It's based on the Xerox machine from 9 to 5. That would be incredible.
That'd be pretty.
Yeah. Hell of a ride.
Wild. Pretty wild. And yeah, the phones and the typewriters, it was all very
I like, you know, I watch this movie, I've watched all of Mad Men, watched other movies that take place in the past. I have absolutely no idea what anyone did in an office job without a computer. Fill out forms?
you take a letter.
Yeah, take a letter. I mean, well, in Mad Men, they drink a lot, which I kind of get. Like, everybody always talks about that with that show, and I'm like, yeah, well, they ain't have computers yet, so what else were they going to do?
Yeah, productivity.
Drink and smoke cigarettes in their office.
Tom, that's what you do. You play around on a computer and then drink.
And drink
and
smoke cigarettes.
Yeah.
Well, so did you like it?
It was all right. I like Dolly Parton's character the best. She definitely had, I think, like, the best arc.
This was just under 2 hours.
It was, I think I have it written
hour
down.
Hour 50, I think.
It was approximately 110 minutes, but it feels longer. I've seen this movie a number of times, and I always think it's a really, really long film, but it's less than 2 hours.
Here's the thing. They should have gotten it down to a tight 90.
Okay. Well, they could have taken out all the weird hallucinogens.
Here's what you do. You get rid of those dream sequences, just... Cut down.
Trim them.
Well, don't.
No, you can throw out the whole
marijuana
scene.
But you know what? You know
scene.
What the thing is?
It's a bad influence anyway.
But the thing is, Tom, thematically, those dreams come back, right? Like, they get to live out those fantasies,
right.
Kind of.
Well, they don't get to eat them.
Practically.
But they get to
They eat them alive professionally.
The equivalent of roasting him on a spit when they're
in front of Colonel Sanders, the chair of the board.
Oh, and the other thing that I didn't like about the movie is who played the chairman of the board?
I do think it was Colonel Sanders. No, I don't know, but it looked like Colonel Sanders.
But
I made that joke three times now.
They in the opening credits, they had the whole cast, and then it was like, and so-and-so as the chairman of the board. Okay. And then they talk about the chairman of the board.
So you know he's coming.
In hushed tones a couple times in the first 5 minutes of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you don't see him, you're like, oh, I know what's going to happen. The chairman of the board's going to come in, and like he's going to be the pivotal guy at the end.
Yeah, but this was 35 years ago. People hadn't seen that many movies yet.
What do you think the budget for this movie was?
I actually wrote it down, Tim, and I don't really want to talk about it more than to tell you it was $10 million.
Okay, cool.
That's a lot of money for back then.
Yeah, what is that in, I don't know, 2009 dollars?
I don't want to talk about it.
Christine and I have a years-long fight going on that we won't get into. Maybe that'll be a future episode of Pop Everything.
Yeah, because we could talk for 2.5 hours about it.
Yeah, we've talked about 6 years.
I'm actually right about it.
Doesn't sound like anything anyone would be interested in.
So anyway,
it's probably true.
Out of 5 stars,
I give it 3.
No stars.
3.7.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, it's a really enjoyable film.
Why'd you make us watch it if you didn't think it was that good?
Well, I think it's very
it's
worthwhile.
Barely passing.
Yeah. Jeez, I was going to say 3, and I thought you were going to crucify it.
I didn't like it. I was going to say 4 to be polite.
I think it's really enjoyable and has moments that are excellent, and as a movie is really important, I think, but like isn't super watchable. But, like, Dolly is exceptional in it. Dolly is lovable. 9 to 5, the song is excellent. I've seen 9 to 5, the musical, on Broadway. I don't know if you know that about me.
Is that still on Broadway?
No.
No. But it had Allison Janney.
Ah, so. TV's The West Wing.
TV.
She played The West Wing.
Oh, did she play Lily Tomlin's part?
Mm-hmm.
Perfect casting.
Yeah, because they're
see it.
A bunch of tall, cool women.
Oh, they talk the same way.
Do they?
They both got that, like...
But it was a musical, you know.
So singing, too.
Mm-hmm.
And dancing?
A little bit of dancing. There was an extra that looked like a mutual friend of all of ours that my friends and I, that I was there with, couldn't believe he was secretly in a Broadway show, but come to find out he wasn't.
Who played Dabney Coleman?
Dabney Coleman.
A Broadway actor whose name I don't recall.
Dabney Coleman.
I don't... Is Dabney Coleman still with us?
No more will you cry.
That's enough. 9 to 5. Mime to 5. Oh, we should do an all mime version of 9 to 5 called 9 to 5, the mime version.
No.
I really wish I hadn't poured you another drink.
Now. So
really
after
9 to 5,
she starred in the musical film The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas.
What? They made a movie called that?
And I'm going to be honest, I didn't like it that much.
Really? Well, it earned Dolly her second Golden Globe nomination.
Earned.
Yeah, I was wondering where she got those 2 Golden Globes from.
Grow up.
Jeepers, creepers, Tom.
What is The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas about? I mean, I know what it, I'm not, this isn't a bit. What is it about?
She wears a red dress.
That's not a plot.
And she's like the madam. In a whorehouse in Texas. I don't know. I saw it once and
is
I really
it
couldn't
like
stand it.
Modern times or is it old times?
I don't remember.
And then she was in Rhinestone with Sylvester Stallone. Thank you for not making us watch that.
I've only seen about a half hour of that and it's tough. It's a tough one.
What's that movie about?
She's a woman.
It's a comedy film about a country music star's efforts to mold.
Whoa.
Speaking of perverts. Yeah.
To mold an unknown into a music sensation.
Ah, Sylvester Stallone comedies are the best.
It's tough. I love Dolly, but it's tough.
You know what I love about Sylvester Stallone and Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Why are you screaming?
Their insistence to keep making comedies, even though nobody likes them.
Yeah.
I mean, I like Arnold's. I mean, before Pop Everything, I had only seen the Arnold Schwarzenegger comedies.
Yeah. You only knew him as a comedian.
Yeah. I thought he was
You thought he was Arnold Braunschweiger, the famous comedian.
Anyway.
Kindergarten Cop is a great film.
So after the flop of Rhinestone.
Yeah.
Dolly was like, all right, fuck this. I'm going to go be a country music star for a while again.
And she did it.
Amusement park.
She did that very well.
Yeah. And then 5 years later, she was pulled back in.
1989.
The ensemble weep fest.
The siren song of Hollywood brought her back.
One of the greatest films literally ever.
Steel Magnolias. You see, it's about, what would you say it's about overall? What would be the, like, one or two sentence, like, log line?
It's a heist movie where all these women are trying to steal magnolias.
Yeah, well, they're not just any magnolias, Tom.
It's a story about female friendship in the face of both love and loss.
It was...
Right?
Did you read that off the back of the VHS?
I did watch both these films on VHS, I want you to know.
You have the most depressing life I've...
Yeah, you Thank still you. Have a VHS player.
I do. And I have these both on tape. I'm proud of it.
Tom, what did you know about Steel Magnolias?
And had you ever seen it in your life?
I knew it was just like the quintessential quote unquote chick flick. Not my words, I'm just saying. And like you said, a weep fest. Like just
yeah,
like,
that's what I knew it as.
I know this movie and Beaches are movies that like women like our parents' age that they like and they cry during.
You're very much like a woman my mother's age.
Okay.
In many ways.
I love your mom, so I don't take that in any kind of a negative way. But I'm here to say that there's a lot beyond just weeping that happens when a person watches Steel Magnolias.
Is it based on a book?
It's based on a play.
Yeah, it was the whole movie. It was very clearly a boring play made into a boring movie.
Blow it out your butt. It's not boring at all.
It's not boring, but it's...
That's my first note. This is like some boring play.
And I'm sorry for saying blow it out your butt, which
it's
is like
cool.
not exactly...
I've already done. I've already done it, so I hope you meant it.
It's not boring, but it's character driven. There's very... What?
I just think that's a very odd thing to say.
No, it's written very much like a play. Like it's
Have you ever seen the play? I've seen the play.
No.
It's
no, but just
do you think that,
picture
oh
it.
Yeah, we've both seen the play. We just never saw the movie.
But picture it, the play is entirely in the beauty parlor, in the hair salon. They never changed the scene.
Really? I could see that because that first scene in the beauty parlor,
mm-hmm.
when I realized like, oh, they're settling in. It's gonna be this for a while. If it's them in the beauty parlor, it's like this is like the 5 year old Tom's nightmare. Because like,
so?
Because
Tom,
like,
also I must say, the 5 year old Tom,
not too far removed.
Yeah, the 34-year-old Tom is very, very similar
I'm
to the 5 year old.
I'm surrounded by superhero dolls, so I'm guessing.
Not dolls, figures. No, but it just. My mom, one of my mom's best friends, owns a salon. So, like.
Tom, stop lying. That's not true.
You just bragging.
So, like, I would have to. Like, I was dragged along there all the time when, you know, my mom wanted to, you know, hang out with her friend and gab and get a haircut. And it was like, well, you just come. You can, you know, you can read this 6 year old issue of Highlights.
Yeah, Highlights was never a good magazine.
Highlights didn't need to be timely. These articles are 6 years old.
Breaking news.
I think I've talked about how the first time I ever cursed in front of my parents was because of Highlights.
Oh, God. What happened? You were so surly.
I was very little. It was one of those, like, I didn't know what it meant, but I knew it was bad.
Uh-huh.
I had sent them a drawing of mine for inclusion in their periodical. And they sent me back a rejection letter, mm-hmm. and I was too young to even be able
Why
to read.
Why would they even do that? Why wouldn't they just be like, kids will forget?
Companies in the 80s did that. I submitted a lot to Mattel, and they kept telling me no.
we'll put a pin in that for a second, because we are going to come back to that momentarily.
Sure.
So my mom had to read the letter to me and then like explain what it meant. And my response after like just sitting there in shock and thinking about it was, I want to write them a letter back that says, go fuck yourself.
Oh my gosh. I'm actually shocked.
Did you get in trouble or did they laugh?
I didn't get in trouble because I think they were just so shocked. And like, they were like,
where did you learn that
they were
garbage?
Like, where did you learn that? Like, right. Why is that?
Right.
And that...
You were so. What was the picture of?
Oh, I don't even remember.
But
I
like,
mean,
you're too little to read the
not
letter.
Not only
yourself.
Do I not remember, I sent him my only copy, and they didn't send it back.
You can't submit that to other publications if
I
they
think
have
that,
it.
I think that speaks a lot to like
your sense of proprietary.
No, my sense of like my problem with rejection.
Oh, that's
where
deep.
It all
that's
started.
Too deep.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Tim.
Pull it back. So you wrote letters to Mattel, Christina.
I did. I designed Barbies that I wanted to see, and then they told me no.
They told you women don't have these jobs.
It wasn't jobs. I wanted an old Barbie and a Barbie that wasn't
the old Barbie
for my storylines.
Like,
wait,
sorry.
Hold on. No, it gets better. You wanted an old Barbie and
oh yeah, I was just telling you this. And I wanted a Barbie that wasn't smiling. I don't think it's even that funny. I think that's a totally reasonable ask.
You're like, sorry.
It's either funny or sad. It's not reasonable. It's like,
as like a 7-year-old kid, I'm like, I don't need like, all my Barbies. No. But I think it's played out in my
Listen,
adult life.
Listen, little girl, like, we don't want to bum kids out with an old Barbie and a sad Barbie.
Because girls never get old and girls never don't smile.
Not Barbie.
Not good girls.
Oh, I have to go.
Steel Magnolias.
So Steel Magnolias. Well, so what I want you to know is, like, I have been watching Steel Magnolias since I was a tiny, tiny child, and I don't remember the first time I saw it. I feel like I've always
seen it. It came out when you were 7,
so
let's cut the shit here.
Okay, but, like, I don't have that many potent memories of life before Steel Magnolias, so I guess that's what I'm saying. And I'm on vacation with my parents when I'm, like, 9 or 10, my parents and my brothers. And we're in Myrtle Beach, and there's these three channels on the TV at our hotel in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and they each are showing one movie over and over and over again for a full day. That's just the nature of the way the channels work. And I did not want to go do anything. I didn't want to go to the beach. I didn't want to go to the souvenir shops. I didn't want to go to Ripley's, believe it or not. I just wanted to
what
sit
out of your mind.
You
because
hello,
sounds
hello.
Like a
because,
great vacation.
Because Steel Magnolias was on for 24 hours and I didn't want to miss it. Again and again and again. So, like, I loved it as
Did
a
you
child.
Want the unsmiling Barbie so the other Barbies could be like, drink your juice, Shelby! Shelby, drink your juice! To the unsmiling
like,
Barbie.
I appreciate you asking that in from what I want to assume is a good place. But, like, my storylines were original.
And the old Barbie would be Shirley MacLaine, like,
holding your head.
I wasn't recreating films in my Barbie storylines. I was making fully realized, very dramatic, whole other stories. No. But then rewatching it ahead of filming this podcast. Are we filming? Are we on tape?
Yeah, we're filming.
Oh, good. I
no,
can't wait to watch.
These cameras are on.
I can't wait to watch the VHS.
We were going to do, once a month, we do a live stream for Patreon people.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
And we were going to make tonight the live stream thing. So, like, it'd be, like, people watching a video stream of us doing this.
That's awful.
And Tom was like, no, don't do that to Femmes. Don't do that. That would be a mean thing to do to
her. Yeah, it would be. I mean, I could have put my Dolly shirt on, though. I did bring a Dolly shirt, everybody. But then watching it as an adult.
You're wearing a Dolly wig.
Thanks for noticing.
Tom, that's not even a real hair.
Wow. Yep, nope. It
came
it's
right off.
Came right off. It's stuck to my hand now.
And watching it as an adult, what I actually feel like I was getting from Steel Magnolia is not to like go in this direction, which I'm sure your audience is not that into, but
please don't presume
Yeah, I don't know.
About our audience.
And I do want to apologize. I listened to the Zoe episode recently. Her voice is just out of this world outstanding.
She was just an accent. So self-conscious about her voice, too.
Oh, Zoe, if you're
listening.
Should
I not say that? Well, she says it. No, she says it in the episode. She's like, I'm afraid, like, I'm not used to talking into a recorder.
Nobody
likes hearing their voices
right
back.
Well, Zoe, if you're listening, I'm here to tell you I was almost too intimidated to come because of how soothing and lovely your voice was.
She'll never listen to this.
Zoe. Anyway, so I'm watching this film, and when
whenever you come up, she's like, oh, you mean American Zoe?
I don't think you should try to get a feud going. It's not going to work. That's
an
actually
international,
not
international.
No, she seems great.
Well, all these
third
movies.
Third tier podcast feud.
All these movies taught me that's very.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Easy to get women to hate each other.
Well, this is exactly in contrast to what I was going to say, which is that like what I learned from Steel Magnolias is like the power of female friendship is that they're there for each other and they are solid in ways that the men are destructive and the men are at best absent, right? At worst, destructive.
Yeah, they're making business deals.
You're thinking of another film. I'm sorry, I keep hitting my face into the microphone. I can't tell if it sounds like...
Let me ask you this. Did you enjoy this movie solely because you saw those man butts in the locker room that one time?
That's the part I watched over.
I think you see a little bit of dong, too. I think there's some glimpses of dong. I went frame by frame.
I'm going to be honest. I've seen this movie no less than 100 times, and I've never noticed a dong.
Well, I just think that...
Well, not in the TV version.
I have it on VHS.
You need it in HD.
I have it on VHS.
I'm just saying, I just assume because they seem cavalier about how they're all walking around.
Yeah.
I bet that there were dongs filmed. I doubt there were dongs showed.
I bet Shirley MacLaine saw some dongs.
Oh, in her life? Yes.
In that scene.
Yeah, I bet she saw some dongs, unless they were wearing...
Dong protectors.
Dong covers.
What do they call those things? They have like a, it's like a modesty
pouch.
It's a modesty pouch.
Isn't that what you call
them.
A dongle?
I like that that not having your wiener out in front of a whole film crew. It's like, oh, he's being modest.
Yeah. Get him the pouch.
Full butt, no problem. Dong is covered.
I chill my butt on
okay,
film.
Okay, I do have a question,
Who
though.
Who cares about a butt?
A lot of people care a lot about butts. What I want to ask...
Yeah, grossos.
You,
Tim, you insisted that we did a show called Amazing Butts.
It was a one-off.
I don't think I ever... Was it a... I don't know about it.
It was behind a paywall, and you're notoriously cheap.
That's actually true. This is going off the rails, and I'm not that excited about it.
We've all been drinking a lot more whiskey.
Yeah.
This really isn't about Dolly Parton anymore, is it?
Well... I mean, we're not talking...
No, there's a good thing.
We're talking about the films. What I do want to know is, did you cry?
Hell no.
Tom did.
No, I got real upset during one point, though. You know what, actually? I didn't get too upset when Julia Roberts died, because...
Spoiler alert.
You could take her or leave her. But,
Jesus!
No, look, hold on. This was in my notes. Shelby didn't seem so great.
Yes,
like, at her funeral when they were like, oh, I just want to let the world know what a wonderful person. Was like, yeah, she was just kind of just like a person that was, like, looking out for number one. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, her
brothers hated her. There had to have been a reason
behind it. No, her brothers were literal monsters, feral monsters. Or I guess
But like it's at my funeral, feral. I don't like people shouldn't be like, oh, what a great guy too. Like, no, too. Like I'm just a guy that's like,
yeah, but you're
looking out to like have a good time.
The
man.
Thing is, you're talking about what her mother was saying about her. Like her mother, of course,
yeah, but
was
somebody
like,
should have been like, hey, Sally Field.
No,
she wasn't that great.
Oh, you know what?
Home audience, I need you to know that I don't agree with Tim.
For no other reason than how horrible her southern accent was. They shouldn't have.
That's a thing as an adult.
They
that
shouldn't
I
have even had a funeral for her.
Yeah.
Guys, I don't
especially
feel like you're getting the point
in
the of
very
the
beginner, in the very beginning when she's like, they were going to put rubbers all over my car. I'm like, nope. I almost turned it off.
I said Dolly Parton. I would think, oh no, wait. I can't believe Dolly signed off on these offensive southern accents.
I think Julia's is the worst.
Oh, yeah. By far, yeah.
Well, what's the part? Wait, I want to know the part that made Tom so upset.
Well, when she said rubbers. I didn't like that. You know what it was?
That's
you
not
know what? To press it, like, not. I guess not depresses. Maybe it makes me feel melancholy. Maybe not melancholy.
And the infinite sadness.
Feeling worse than melancholy, not as bad as depression. What would you call that feeling?
Ennui.
Movies that have a lot of time jumps, I don't like.
Oh, I like that.
Oh,
Tom, you love
that.
Time travel movie. You love Back to the Future.
Oh, if it's by their own action, sure.
Wait, you're saying because it skipped from the wedding to a few months after the wedding to a year after the baby was born, you hated it?
It
made you
it
feel
keeps
worse than melancholy?
When
it skipped. That doesn't make any sense.
But it wasn't. It wasn't quite depressed.
It was not. It's more than melancholy. It's not quite depressed. That it wasn't 100%.
No, the thing that made me
from one
like
day
the
to,
most.
It wasn't that an episode of 24.
The thing that made me the most upset about the movie is like, yep, all right, time marches on. Everybody, you know, everybody's gonna die. I didn't like that.
That's part of the point of the movie. You love each other the best you can, and some people die, and some people get a chain, and
some
have
people
a
turn
baby
religious.
I know.
Some people are dating a violent criminal, and then he goes to jail, and then she becomes a party girl, and then she becomes a
did you
woman
notice
in Dolly's image, and then they become a
but then she like kind of eases off that a little bit, yeah, gets did her you glasses back.
Well, that's exactly what I was going to say is, did you notice when she was a sinner, she wore contact lenses?
Yeah, Daryl Hannah's accent was terrible, too.
I know, but she's so pretty. Apparently, she
not when she was wearing glasses.
Fuck off forever. everybody, I wear glasses. When
who are you talking to? You're acting as if this is being recorded.
I'm talking to the home audience that I assume is watching every move I ever make. Is that weird? Daryl Hannah went out for the part and they didn't hire her because she was too pretty. And she came back the next day in glasses and with her hair different and they hired her.
Well, I thought it was kind of weird, actually, when she first gets the job with Dolly that she's a hairdresser and her hair's like frizzy and terrible.
I don't ever think her hair is terrible in that film.
In the
Dolly's
beginning,
hair?
No.
You're talking about it now.
Daryl Hannah's.
No, it's a different style, man. Like, all that hair is ridiculous. Like, when they're making the bit, everybody, all the ladies get the big hair. It's all like, it's not the style that you and I are like, hey, look at that babe with the hair, right?
No, but
like,
Dolly's hair, I could, in that first scene when Daryl Hannah's doing her hair, I could appreciate, like, that's what she's going for.
He could
and
get
like,
with that hair.
She's got
yeah, but
it.
Every time I've gotten a haircut at, like, a high-end place, it's always some guy with a fucking crew cut doing it. Like, it's never, like, fashion designers just wear, like, all black clothes. It's like, it doesn't matter what the person doing your hair's doing. Right? Like, you don't need, a hairdresser doesn't need to have flashy hair to be to be gifted in giving other people flashy
and
hair.
And Anella's really good at hair, and her personal tragedy didn't interfere with her ability to do good hair, which is one of my favorite lines from the film that I just butchered.
Yeah. All right.
Well, so, but like, what's your next thing? You're
well,
saying?
I was gonna bring up Dolly.
Mm-hmm.
Dolly specific, her arc is weird, right?
No, it's great
because it's she owns a beauty shop
mm-hmm.
in the carport.
Right.
She also has a carport. It's not
no.
In the carport.
I thought it was. I thought there was a line of like, my husband put a roof over the carport, and here we are.
No, that's not. All right, anyway. her husband was like a little like
he's a minor
neglectful of her, right? Yeah. Or of the union, of the marriage, right?
Right.
If you know what I mean.
We don't know that he's stepping out, but he's not really all the way there.
They've
never consummated
the marriage.
I think they have. Sam Shepard, they have a baby.
That was Sam Shepard?
Yeah.
I don't know him as not an old man. Yeah. Oh, what a cool guy.
Have you never seen Baby Boom?
No.
He's the...
I've seen Baby Geniuses. Are we talking about Baby Geniuses?
Baby Boom.
Oh, Baby's Day Out.
Guys, Baby Boom with Diane Keaton and Sam Shepard, where Sam Shepard is the veterinarian. I don't want to alienate anybody, but like Sam Shepard is a hottie in that film.
What's the name of the actor who plays Sally Field's
husband? Please don't
husband?
Objectify.
Sam Tom
Shepard.
Skerritt.
His character kind of stinks, but is kind of good.
I wondered about you and how you felt about the crossbow with fireworks in it.
Well, the gun stuff with the crows or whatever it is ridiculous. And also, like he's shooting at him. Obviously, it's not doing anything. Stop
yeah,
it.
Yeah, they're going to keep coming back. Shooting at them again isn't going to stop
and
them.
Also,
you got to kill a few of them.
At certain points, he's shooting too many where it's like, no, that gun does not have like a 20-bullet magazine.
Yeah,
It was an accuracy thing. You think the film was misrepresenting what guns can do.
Yeah.
And that, to me, is offensive.
Oh, gosh.
This is the most offensive thing about it.
But isn't it funny when he shoots that and then he can't hear and then it's like, who gives
That's
this woman
funny,
away?
Yeah.
And he says, what? Yeah. Her mother and I do. And he says it so loud. He's just another useless man.
So Dolly's arc, mm-hmm. her useless husband, eventually comes around.
Mm-hmm.
And what does he do? He buys her another place?
So yeah. The arc of...
Don't you shove your hand in my face.
Don't tell people that I'm
mad. To the listener at home, Christine just gave Tim the don't talk to the hand.
No, do talk to the hand.
She wanted me, in fact, to stop talking to her face, because her face apparently did not understand.
Talk to the hand, because the face don't understand. Yeah, I guess that's what I was doing.
But your hand came dangerously close to my face.
I'm like 12 feet away from you.
I know. Your arm is 11 feet long.
That's true. Sam Shepard's arc was that he didn't appreciate his wife or his son, Spud. Or
but?
Maybe his name is Spud. I can't remember.
Oh, the biker guy.
That kid was a shit.
That kid's a bit of a dirtbag. But yeah.
Man, what is it with all these women being bad moms? I bet he smokes doobies.
This is the most appalling direction to take these films. I'm really embarrassed to know you. That's not true. The thing I want to say is, so Dolly and her husband are not estranged, but don't have a great marriage. And then what Sam Shepard realizes when Shelby dies is that
is that she should have drank her juice.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that whole hospital scene, nobody even tried to give her juice.
Shelby, drink your juice.
Do you know what I read when I was researching for this episode? And it said, is that...
You researched for this?
Yeah, because I didn't know how seriously to take it until I listened to some of your... Never mind. That the person who wrote the play, based it on the death of his sister, who died from early young diabetes, whatever, and that the scenes in the hospital, they brought people from the hospital who had treated his sister to be the extras as like the orderlies and the nurses
like
and everything.
Like in United 93.
I don't, I can't, I actually like can't
That's
go
what they
there with
did
that.
In that
oh,
movie.
You know what? To take it back
what?
To.
It was
no.
like
to
the
take,
real air traffic controllers, Tom.
That's fucked up. Pardon my language. Did you know that the, in 9 to 5, the...
You're just afraid I'm going to turn this into a 9/11 conspiracy theory.
The same
podcast.
Plane. Hello. Hey guys.
How were they
Hello?
In the movie?
Guys, I have something crazy to tell you.
All right.
I'm sorry, bonkers.
It shouldn't be that our guest has to yell over us. I'm sorry, Christine. You are a guest on this show.
I've met you before.
Yeah,
I'm not
I
surprised
apologize.
By this at all.
Sorry.
The same plane in 9 to 5 in the shot when...
Is this going to be a 9/11 conspiracy theory?
When the know-it-all tell, like the tattletale.
Yeah, yeah.
The scene
yeah.
where
she's
the,
moving, she's going to France.
The tattletale is going to France. The same plane in that shot was the TWA 800.
Flight 800 that got shot down?
In 1996. And it's that same body of the same plane.
Wow.
You know what? Because when that plane was taking off, And I was like, oh, TWA, that's like a real relic. And then I was like, oh, TWA like ended because of that one high profile plane crash.
Yeah.
Right.
Which we don't know what happened to that plane, but you know what? It's acceptable to have conspiracy theories about that, though. Come on.
I don't think this is an argument.
What are you arguing for?
Yeah, exactly. What is the thing that you're advocating for?
I don't
for?
Even know anymore. So I want to talk about
Tim's
Dolly.
Tim's been on some bad websites lately.
I have been.
Sam Shepard's arc, everybody, uh-huh. is that once he learns that Shelby has died, he realizes that
he shouldn't be such a shit.
He shouldn't be so complacent in his marriage.
Because Dolly might die.
And he starts stirring the wax. Right? Yeah. And he's
no,
this
but he goes,
for?
What the hell is this?
Well, here's what I want to ask you about Dolly in this movie, because you love Dolly.
I love Dolly.
And how do you feel about the character she plays?
I feel like a lot of the characters in this film have that sort of like joyful mean girl spirit that like I think we, or at least I should say I, kind of like both fight and cherish, where it's like you're so mean to everyone that's not in your inner circle and you're kind of mean to the people that are in your inner circle, but it's...
Well, surely McClane's character
love.
And her to them.
Weezer.
Yeah, Weezer. I mean, the fact that they call her Weezer.
Well, you know what I want to talk about that I don't know if you guys will want to talk about is how much like just absolutely voluminous femininity everyone was expressing with their hair and their makeup and mm-hmm. their and like the way they were talking about like anyone that does their own hair that's just not natural, whatever. And then Weezer's this kind of like interesting contrast to that because she's like in her overall, she's got this big dog. She doesn't care what other people think of her in the same way. When someone
the guy,
is
a, the guy when, she's banging is seen as like a weak guy.
It's like a joke. And she the first thing she says to him upon re-meeting him is like, have you shrunk? Like she's just this absolute not archetypical feminine person. Yeah, I guess.
She's
crone
rich.
is a perfectly acceptable
it, I don't love it. I'm not going to... Oh, everybody just fell into the microphone a little bit. Hey, everybody.
No, here's what I wanted to ask you about Dolly, though. Her character says things like, there's no such thing as natural beauty.
Mm-hmm.
When he asks what that goop is, she's like...
It makes you pretty.
It makes you pretty. And it's like, you do not identify with that kind of worldview...
She but, says, and this takes a lot of effort.
Yeah, if you met a woman
mm-hmm.
on the street, if I was like, hey, this is my friend, and she's like, yeah, I believe that women are not naturally beautiful and you need cosmetics to do, you'd be like, Tim, this lady stinks. Well, why?
Sure, she looks a lot like Dolly Parton, but...
Yeah, and I'd be like, Christine, I was trying to tell you the whole time, that was Dolly Parton, the famous country and western music star.
A, I hope to believe that I would recognize Dolly Parton in the flesh if you were introducing me to one of my, like, heroes.
Yeah, but in
the
this scenario, you're blind.
Oh, my God.
In this scenario, there's been a horrible accident.
You didn't mention that explicitly.
Yeah, no, that's...
That's implicit in there.
I thought you should have picked up on that. Otherwise, of course, you would have known.
Is this like a Daredevil situation, though?
Here's
what's the accent? That's
yeah, well, it's they're rebuilding the city after the great fight. Of,
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, but all of Christine's other senses are heightened.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So she can
that's
smell Dolly coming in, hear her.
Yeah, but
coming.
She doesn't know what Dolly smells like because, yeah, she was a mere six rows away from
I
her.
I bet you could know.
15 years ago.
I bet even
no,
without
only...
superpowers, you would know what Dolly smells like. I bet she smells great.
It was only like 4 years ago that I was six rows away from her, and I like to think that I would know her by her smell.
I bet Dolly Parton smells wonderful. You're right. I would love to have her because I bet like...
I'd love to smell her.
I would smell... I would
love
to
have her
to
in my home because like, you know,
freshen
when people are a little... they put a little too much when they come on a little thick and you're like, ugh. But sometimes there's that person that puts a lot on and it's just like... Yeah, but that's great. They did it right. They did exactly the right thing.
She gets it right. Have you ever heard that thing about Dolly that the reason she always wears long sleeves is because she has butterfly tattoos all over her arms?
No, I've never heard that.
I don't know. She hasn't, like, she's sleeveless in 9 to 5, but I don't think she's been sleeveless since the 80s.
Why is that a conspiracy? Why do people believe
it's
she
a
has
rumor.
A bunch
it's
of a butterfly tattoos?
She loves butterflies. There's a butterfly garden at Dollywood, which neither of you would know because I'm the only one here that's
I'd love to go to Dollywood. Believe
I'd
me.
Go there in a heartbeat
but
again.
But why would she get all those tattoos if she was just going to hide them?
Because it's not part of her celebrity image. They're for her. It's private.
Well, then don't put it on a...
So my answer for you is if you introduce me to someone Truvy...
You've thrown your
I know. I've had a little more whiskey than I've had dinner.
Cripes, yeah.
Christine's going to mansplain it to you, Tim. Just sit there and listen.
Tim, that's the opposite of how it works. What I think the answer is the thing about Truvy is like, she's like, no one cries alone in my presence. She's very loving to the people that she serves. And she believes in the work that she's doing. And I'm someone,
I'm not trying to burst any bubbles.
Bubble's not burst. I'm trying to think of how
I wasn't trying to be like, you like her and she says this. I'm just wondering how, because like, I find her charming, even though I disagree with the premise of a lot of what she says. And it's just like, well, I like that because she's a pretty lady. But like, why do you like that?
Right. Well, and I feel like with this film, you know, she's playing a character and her character is lovable. I think if I met her in the street, I don't know that I'd give her enough of a chance to know
all the nuances ladies, of her. I'd be like, all right, enough of you.
But it's this portrait of people who are
speaking in very long, complicated sentences.
You found this film
They wouldn't want anything to do with you.
No, I didn't find the film. They spoke in sentences that were... That's what made it seem like a stage play to me occasionally. You know how sometimes you see a stage play? Mm-hmm. And
once in a while, sure.
People will speak in sentences that are like, this is not the way anybody ever speaks.
Yeah.
It was so... And
what's an example of that,
It doesn't need
though?
To be naturalistic. I can't like
pretty much every...
some of their insults to each other were like, it's like that was a one-liner technically,
but that was a long line.
But there were some semicolons in that, you know, in that sentence.
I just feel like if you want to take a film that like encompasses what life is, is there a better film than Steel Magnolias? Because it's the ups, it's the downs, it's the joy, it's the pain, it's the friendship, it's also the uselessness of effort, right?
Well, that's depressing.
Yeah.
Baby's Day Out.
I've never seen Baby's
This baby Day doesn't Out. Know what's going on. He gets himself in all sorts of situations.
And, like, even in the face of the loss of Shelby, like, what sort of lovely is the perspective that the women have? The women go to
like,
Malin.
Punch Shirley MacLaine in the face. Don't be sad. Punch Shirley MacLaine
well,
in the face.
Well, I was going to say, there are two things that I want to say about this movie still. One is that, there's a scene where a baby slaps an old lady, which should be in every movie.
Wait, hold on. No. This is my final note for the movie.
I bet you have the same note I do.
No. A baby slapped a lady.
Mm-hmm.
And then this was me in the middle of the night, by the way. I watched this movie in the middle of the night.
Okay.
A baby slapped a lady, and then all the women rushed over and asked if the baby was okay.
Well, because the baby...
They were like, oh, baby. It's like,
well, because
no, he
they
slapped
know,
a
they
lady.
They know Weezer's a real asshole.
No. They don't see the slap. They hear that baby is crying because baby's scared of Weezer because...
The lady told the story of where Weezer was like a witch or something.
That's right.
Who's that lady? What's her name?
Clarie, a.k.a. Olympia Dukakis.
Oh, that's yeah. Olympia. Oh, okay, yeah. I
you
knew
know what
that.
I learned on the Wikipedia page for this movie? Or like down the wiki wormhole?
Mm-hmm.
Olympia Dukakis, not Michael Dukakis' wife. His cousin.
I feel like you're missing the point of this
film.
Okay,
but they are related.
Are they cousins?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I mean, Dukakis. If there's more than one Dukakis.
She's in a film that I want to quickly plug.
This thing. You're doing these hand motions like you're the producer.
Like, all right, Tim, that's
Tom's
enough out
producer.
Of you.
Ginger's the executive producer.
We're not here to talk about related films of actors in the Dolly Parton films, but I do want to say that Moonstruck is a great film that also stars Olympia Dukakis.
All right. You already talked about Moonstruck.
Yeah. I know, but it was off
camera.
Do
you have like an affiliate for Moonstruck or
no,
something?
No, but John Mahoney's in it. Friggin'
She's
Cher.
On the Moonstruck street team.
I've been a longtime admirer of the film Moonstruck.
All right. So, well, that leads me to one of the things is that, you know, a baby slaps an old lady. But that whole scene is Shirley MacLaine and prior to that, Olympia Dukakis fucking with a little kid whose mom just died for no reason other than their own enjoyment.
Well,
like their own inside jokes.
Yeah, I agree.
Don't fuck with that baby. Don't tell that baby stories about a mean lady that the baby's about to see. The mom just died.
The mom died 4 months before. More than 4 months. The mom died on Halloween. Died shortly after
it's
Halloween.
It's a baby.
We're talking about Easter. That's
it's
April.
It's a baby. Don't. Even if the mom didn't die,
I feel
don't
like,
tell babies stories about witches.
I feel like you're saying like no one whose parent died should ever go to a haunted house, and I don't think that's fair to kids whose parents
not
died.
Not babies.
Tim?
Christine, this is dangerously close to getting into territory of like...
an epic fight.
Yeah. Like, because Christine, you don't understand how much fun it is to wind you up and to invent like it's very easy to get into a very like our entire friendship
mm-hmm.
is based on riling each other up and mm-hmm. getting into like meaningless fights
about things on which we mostly agree.
Yeah, exactly. We're 99.5% in agreement on everything.
So what you're saying is you don't think babies should be allowed to go to haunted houses immediately after their parents
they should be allowed to, but it should be their decision. I'm just saying the baby seemed uncomfortable. Even when just Olympia Dukakis was holding him and telling him this story, it seemed like the baby wanted to get away.
The baby is not one of the characters in which I'm most invested in the film.
Yeah, because he's a man.
Well, by definition, he's a baby.
Yeah, but like he is a problem too, and it's not his fault. But like he
killed his mom.
Isn't able to.
He did kill his mom.
Yeah.
It's also like, it's crazy to think because you think of diabetes as sort of innocuous, but it's actually not.
I don't think of it as innocuous. I once knew a lady who had diabetes. She had survived breast cancer
mm-hmm.
and she had a stroke, like unrelated to the diabetes, before she was diagnosed with diabetes. And she told me, Tim, the diabetes is worse than cancer, and it's worse than recovering from a pretty severe stroke that I had.
Wow.
Because it's constant. It's every, like,
yeah.
You
have
to
worry about it.
All
continually vigilant.
Yeah.
And I have a friend who has type 1 diabetes, and the just the learning curve in terms of everything you have to think about and all that you have to do. I mean, it's very real, but yeah. I don't know.
It's a horrible disease. Well, and like they can treat it, but they can't cure it. Like, yeah. And that's
so,
the thing.
And you can understand why Sally Field was so upset.
You can understand
that
why
she had the
Shelby
baby?
Needed
well,
to drink her
when,
juice.
When she said that she was pregnant and everybody was so excited. That scene bummed me out a lot.
Right, because it's so sad. I'd rather have 10 minutes of wonderful than a whole lifetime of nothing
but
special.
But to Sally Field, that's her baby.
Yeah.
That's her little girl.
The risk of her baby. Yeah.
Tom, you really drank the Kool-Aid on this one. You really drank the juice. You're very much like Shelby.
The Kool-Aid is delicious on this film because it's like the...
You're very much
and like Tom Skerritt is like, I'm going to be a granddaddy. I'm
Wait,
so happy.
Wait, why is Tom scared?
You're making
the haunted house we were talking about earlier.
Sally Field, by the way, can do no wrong in my book.
Sally Field, saw her in the West Village maybe a year ago.
What?
She's still adorable.
I love Sally
Field. I was having a bad day. I was picking up a salad from my favorite salad place. Like, that's how bad my day was. And I walked down the street and I was like, that is
you ate a salad? That's your, I'm going to peace out. I'm going to eat a salad.
I had to take a Subway to get to the salad on my lunch break, okay? And I was walking down the street and I looked up and I was like, that's the Flying Nun. Like, that's...
That's what you would think?
Oh, come on.
That's Mrs. Doubtfire's wife.
That's Mr. Doubtfire.
I mean, this is one of my favorite films. We're talking about Steel Magnolias. Like, it's Malin.
Yeah.
But like,
and he didn't say anything to her?
No, I'm not trying to bother her in the middle of the day.
I saw.
She's one. I don't even like know her personally, but I would say hello.
It's
to
also
her.
Mrs. Lincoln.
Yeah.
I didn't see Lincoln. I was thinking of watching all the.
You should
Steven
have asked
Spielberg
her how the play
movies.
Was.
That's a pretty good one.
Mm-hmm. No, let me ask you this. Because I was shocked in the first scene when I learned that she was the mom of, what's her face? Julia Roberts.
Well, yeah. So this is actually something I learned in my research for this episode of Pop Everything.
That's good. Just scream into the mic as much.
People like that, I think. Is the producers or the director, somebody was doubting that Sally Field could play the mother of a 22-year-old. But in 1989, Sally Field's, I can't find it in my notes, but in 1989, Sally Field's son was almost 22. So it was true to life.
Okay.
She just aged very well. She's very cute.
She's great. You know what I hated?
She's just always cute.
Adorable.
There was this meme going around. Do you know about memes?
Oh, I know what you're going to say. And I agree.
A meme.
It's pronounced meme-y. And it was like, oh, only in Hollywood. Sally Field, like, look, I agree with the fact that, like, actresses in Hollywood, as they get older, are marginalized.
Did you see My Last Fuckable Day or whatever it's called?
Yeah, you know what? I thought it was a good premise. There weren't enough jokes in that sketch.
Because it's not that funny. Go on.
It's not that funny, but, like, all right, then write an essay about it. I don't know. Write an article.
Do you ever read essays about
I write a lot of op-eds.
About aging women in Hollywood.
I know. I felt like they got lazy with it, right?
I loved it.
A mutual friend of ours, who happens to be your roommate, agreed with me.
Fair. Okay. I loved it. Go ahead.
Who will remain nameless.
There was a thing that was saying, like, Sally Field played
Tom Hanks's
right
girlfriend right. in a movie, and then 5 years later played his mom in Forrest Gump.
Right.
Like, trying to be like, oh, she reached that age where it's like, nope, now you're an old lady.
Mm-hmm.
But whenever she played Tom Hanks's mom, whenever Tom Hanks was Forrest Gump, she was in, like,
old lady
80-year-old lady makeup.
When she played the character's mom, he was
When she
eight.
Played her own age, there was a child playing Tom Hanks.
Yeah, that's true. I've seen that meme and I've gone, oh, that's garbage.
Yeah, but it's
never
also like,
but
no,
you guys
it's not
know.
Like, it was not like Tom Hanks was in a room and then Sally Field was like, I'm your mom. Present day Sally Field.
Yeah.
No, she was like, no, I'm your mom in like ridiculously thick makeup.
Yeah.
Does every conversation come back to Forrest Gump with you folks? Because you know how I feel about Forrest Gump, right?
You love it?
No.
I hate it. You hate it?
I hate it because of its factual inaccuracies and not the ones you're thinking of.
Yeah. I hate it for so many reasons.
I think we should all the way
have had Andrew Gregory sit right here and defend Forrest Gump, right?
Yeah.
And the thing is,
I don't think it's presented as being factually accurate.
Well, here's the thing. Here's my
How did this one? I don't think this one man. No, no.
How
but
did I never hear about him before?
My problem with Forrest Gump is encapsulated in this one aspect, which is the fact that he says Jenny died on a Saturday.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
You just high-fived me and fist bumped me.
I know. So, I thought you had a legitimate gripe.
I feel that this gripe is legitimate.
What is the gripe?
The gripe is that Jenny died on a Saturday, Forrest tells us. And then we see a close-up of her grave, and it says, like, March 25th,
is that
1982.
Not a Saturday?
And that's a Thursday.
So that's your problem with Forrest Gump.
Have you ever heard of a farm? Excuse me, I'm a little drunk. Have you ever heard of a farmer's almanac?
Hold on.
I know Tim's argument is that it's an unreliable narrator.
Have you put this into IMDb under goofs and gaffes?
No, I think I tweeted it once at Andrew Rose Gregory at. Oh, I'm a mess.
He's an unreliable narrator. None of that stuff ever happened. That guy read the newspaper and watched TV and
ate a whole box of
He was
of
a
chocolates.
Mentally challenged man and. He
insinuated himself into history. I hear you. Just don't think he would say Jenny died on a Saturday as part of his
unreliable narrative. It's part of the clues. They just forgot to film the reveal.
The other thing I wanted to say about Steel Magnolias.
Yeah, thank God for you.
Is that, well, wait till I finish what I'm saying before you thank me. I think it's Dolly's character refers. No. One of them is getting flowers from their boyfriend or husband a bunch. They're like trying to make up to him or something. But anyway, the flowers come from Sherwood Florist, which is from the DC universe. So this movie takes place in the DC universe.
What is he talking about?
I don't know. Anyway, Steel Magnolias out of 5 stars. Tom, what do you give it?
Oh, it was better than I thought it would be. I'll say that. 3 stars. It loses a star because of Julia Roberts' accent.
I'm going to give it a 3.7.
Whoa, that's low. Why so low?
That's what you said about fucking 9 to 5, you dope.
I don't think that's fair.
Sorry for... Hey, do you want to come on the show, Christine? It's a show where I scream at ladies.
That's how he gets his rocks off.
We drink a lot of whiskey, and then I scream at ladies.
Yeah, you'll get free whiskey, but you'll also sweat so much. It's so hot in here.
I didn't eat dinner either.
Me either.
We should get pizza on our way back.
I would love a pizza. What I want to tell you is, I recently was on a luxury bus, and
it was luxury, name only. Any bus by definition is not luxury.
An interstate bus is my enemy, but
what about Aerosmith's tour bus?
Well, that's a whole different story.
Or the Rock and Roller Coaster.
That's not a bus.
That's a super stretch limo.
So I'm on this luxury bus, and you better
get a stretch. Better make it a super stretch.
I'm on this luxury bus. And it's the kind of bus that shows films. And it's showing the original Steel Magnolias, the film we've all watched for tonight.
Is there a reboot?
Yeah, there's a reboot with Queen Latifah.
It was a Lifetime Channel movie.
Oh, brother.
And I actually only watched like 10 minutes of it. I want to see the whole thing, but I haven't. So we're watching the original Steel Magnolias. I'm in like the third or fourth row of the bus.
What kind of weird luxury bus is showing Steel Magnolias on...
Great question. On the way to Massachusetts. I don't know. I mean, I know the name of the bus. I don't want to mention it by name in case anyone on it is embarrassed and is listening.
Well, and in case some of their rivals are our sponsors.
Right, exactly. I wouldn't want to get you in any hot water. So what I'm trying to tell you is, it was like maybe 4 or 5 months ago, they show the original Steel Magnolias. I plug in and listen because I love this film. I'll watch it whenever I have the opportunity to watch it, rewatch it.
And you got nothing else to do on a bus.
And what else are you doing on a bus? I am surrounded by people I don't know, some of whom maybe have never seen the film before because I'm hearing so much out loud laughter.
Well, they were probably doing other things.
No, they're laughing at the funny parts of the film. And then the part in the cemetery, which I'm going to be honest, I cry every time I see that scene, even if I'm just flipping around.
It just looks like acting to me.
Okay. I can't actually like deal with that right now. So I see that film and I'm tearing up, but I'm not getting that emotional because, again, I've seen it 100 times. Uh-huh. But like people on the bus are...
Wait, you're saying I'm tearing up, but I'm not getting that emotional.
Because, well, in contrast to people on the bus who seemingly have never seen it before, mm-hmm. who I hear... sobbing, like I hear like and like the woman behind me over my shoulder is like blowing her nose and crying. The person who was guffawing at the funny parts is like doing all this slow breathing. So, like I hear people on the bus sobbing.
How do you know that this wasn't an
unrelated sobbing?
No, like an experience that the bus offers, like an immersive experience where there are speakers throughout that play sounds that enhance your experience while watching the movie.
Because all I could hear was the audio of the film in my headphones. That's how I know.
But
I was there. I was part of it.
This might have been Dolby 5.1.
Yeah.
In like other seats, you mean?
Yeah.
I guess I don't...
Did you talk to any of the other passengers on the
Did
bus?
You see
Maybe they were
them
all
crying?
Dummies.
Maybe they were what?
All dummies.
They're all dummies. They're fake. They're mannequins.
Guys, I don't think so. I'm pretty sure what I experienced was real and that there wasn't Dolby surround sound making it more immersive.
Yeah,
them.
But how crazy.
What I'm telling you is.
How crazy would it be if you took off your headphones and you're like, I don't hear the crying anymore. And you're like, let me go to the bathroom. And you're walking down the aisle and they're like,
there's nobody.
Dummy.
There's nobody on this bus but me.
And the bus driver, you realize, is a dummy too. And it drives off. And then you had to drive the bus all the way home.
Guys, Dolly Parton is a national treasure. And I have thought many times. I mean, she's very young in a lot of ways, but she's very old in some ways. But I've thought.
She's been around
for
a long time.
Is that rude? Are you saying that?
No, I'm saying like she's, you know, she started
her
career young.
She
blew up quickly.
I imagine her Q rating is off the charts.
I don't know what that is, a Q rating.
That's just like your likability.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
like,
yeah. There's nothing unlikable about her.
I think if you went up to anybody in America who knew who she was and asked if you had a positive or a negative view of Dolly Parton, 98% would have to say positive and the rest would be like,
well,
don't know.
White
so it would say something
like her.
Scummy. No, she held down the black man in 9 to 5. They were very
happy
but about
then
that.
But then she had like a gay pride day at Dollywood and they threatened to kill her.
She's
like the Klan. Literally the Klan.
The Ku Klux Klan?
The same Klan. That's the one I'm talking about. No, the Foot Klan.
Well, those are bad guys, too. Yeah. I don't know of any clans that are good. No. Clash of Clans?
Yeah.
I imagine you play as a good clan in that.
Well, you probably think you are, but I think you play against other people on that game.
Yeah. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Do you have what are your... do you
who,
have anything?
Who are your favorite app bad guys?
Christine?
I don't even know what that means.
All right. Wow. We've recorded quite an episode.
Yeah. Does that say 1 hour and 46 minutes?
Yeah, but we recorded a little something for something else. It's more like 1 hour and 43 minutes.
It's way shorter.
Yeah.
Well, I'm hopeful that I represented in an appropriate way how valuable Dolly Parton is to us all.
If she's listening right now, what would you like to say to her? She listens to all the other episodes.
Yeah, so. I mean, I think what I would say to Dolly Parton is an earnest and heartfelt thank you, and to say that, like, you're an extraordinary woman, and I also never cry alone in anyone's presence, and I don't know if that was just true for you or if that's you too, but I bet it's you.
Wait, nobody cries alone in your presence.
You make them cry.
Is that what I said?
No, you said the other way. You said nobody cries alone in my presence.
No,
that's right.
That yeah, you said I don't cry alone in anybody's presence.
Oh, it's not that other people cry when I cry, right?
Yeah,
I make them cry.
Basically, what I mean is
that's the only time I feel like crying is when other people are crying.
I've learned empathy from Dolly. I feel like.
Oh wow!
To some extent.
Holy crap!
Yeah, I wouldn't say you completely know empathy.
What's your favorite Dolly Parton song?
Oh, great question. I think it's Jolene, but I really do love Here You Come Again. And I also love, there's so many. I don't know.
Tom, you got a favorite? You don't care.
I like 9 to 5. It's been stuck in my head ever since I saw the movie.
I'm an Islands and Stream guy, but that was written by the Bee Gees. So I'm going to have to go with... Jolene, that song rules.
Jolene is so
good. You know
good.
What I didn't understand a couple years ago?
What's that?
When they're like, when you slow down Jolene, it sounds like a man is singing it, and it's great. Do you remember this thing? Like,
yeah.
It was like,
vaguely.
Yeah.
And it was just like, it's a very slow version of Jolene, and it just sounds like a regular
down.
Guy like, Jolene, Jolene. And it's like, yeah, but no, I like the other. Like, they're like, and this is genius. You see the true genius of Dolly Parton's Jolene when you slow it down to half its speed. It's like,
and have a man sing it.
Yeah, I liked it.
It's perfect as
I liked
it,
it
is.
Better the like the way that it was intended.
Written,
what a weird thing to do.
Stop slowing things down, everybody.
Stop slowing things down.
I also like Little Sparrow.
I don't know that song.
Me neither.
It's great.
Maybe we'll have Little Sparrow play us out.
An actual little sparrow play us out?
I know.
Christine, where can people find out more about you?
Christine is a big fan.
They can follow you on Twitter at hotdogburger.
At hotdogburger.twitter.com.
What about Instagram?
Same.
Same?
Hotdogburger.
What about LinkedIn?
Oh, on LinkedIn, I actually just changed my job title today, but I won't say more about that.
Congratulations. LinkedIn stinks. The hell with it.
More like stinked in.
Yeah, I'm hot dog burger all the places I'm findable, I think.
All right.
Pinterest?
I'm not on Pinterest.
I'm on Pinterest.
Are you?
My sister-in-law made fun of me, and she was like, I have a sister. I've never said sister-in-law before.
Do you usually say brother's wife?
I've never referred to her. she was like, oh, that's for girls. What do you have that for? She's my only Pinterest friend, too, and she made fun of me like 2 Christmases ago. Like, hey, Tim, Pinterest is for girls. And hey, everybody, Tim's on Pinterest. It's for girls.
Like a girl.
Yeah. I may eventually have more things to plug, but currently it's just Hot Duck Burr.
All right.
Christine, thank you for doing this.
Yeah.
No problem.
We hope to have you on again.
Mm-hmm. Go on.
We don't do these things very often, much to the chagrin of the people that constantly write us about this. I feel like we need to say one more thing about Dolly.
She's the best. She's the best.
I was going to say, I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but she's busty.
A troubling thing came up when I was doing the artwork for this because I want to get this out as soon as possible.
I know that it's already been advertised before it was recorded.
Yeah.
Put some pressure on. So what do you mean, do the art? Is that why you have all these drawings of boobies around?
Well, no. Here's the thing. I put it
that's
into a search engine,
about.
An image search.
I know. That's what I'm telling Tim. He made all these drawings though.
Guys, everyone, Tim just died before my eyes.
There was I did a Google image search. Uh-huh. It was really a Bing image search.
That's your first mistake.
I get Bing bucks. but I did a Google image search.
We'll tell you about Bing bucks afterwards.
Dolly Parton. And then I was like, oh, the art for these shows, I always get a black and white picture of the person. Like, I try to get a cool vintage picture.
I can send you some. I have some on my phone already.
So I go Dolly Parton, and then I hit space because I'm going to write black and white.
Mm-hmm. Space
and then it
bar.
Comes
once
up.
Once hit B.
Once you hit that
no,
space
no, not
bar.
Even
no.
that. I hit space bar, and it comes up naked. And then I just search, fuck it. I'm just going to search Dolly Parton. Dolly Parton. And then the top, other people search for Dolly Parton nude, Dolly Parton naked, Dolly Parton naked boobs, Dolly Parton boobs, Dolly Parton nude boobs.
This is horrifying.
Yeah, it's just like, Google, do I have to put goddamn safe search on? Is this what
Bing.
I have to do?
You have to Bing. I know I only have Hot Dog Burger, but I do want to say that, like, if you want to look something up, you should listen to Dolly Parton with Emmylou Harris with Linda Ronstadt.
And
wow.
You're on that as well?
No.
Oh, I thought you were plugging.
But
what do they sing?
They have a whole trio. They have a whole record as a trio.
Holy shit. My mom's a big Linda Ronstadt fan, so this... really tracks with you being a woman in her 60s.
Linda Ronstadt is outstanding and is my favorite. I have a live record of Linda Ronstadt and I could listen to it for days. But there are two mutual friends we all have that we think that maybe for Halloween, which is coming up soon or something, that we should think about that trio situation because one of us is Dolly, one of us is Linda, and one of us is Emmylou.
Yeah, but
go?
I mean, that would be... You guys would probably have to fight it out for
you'd
who
be
you.
Emmylou.
No,
you'd go Emmylou.
I'd be Emmylou. And
just in demeanor wise, you're not as out. You're not as.
Yeah, I don't sing bilingually the way Linda Ronstadt does.
Now, Tom, you and me and a couple other guys can go as the Highwaymen.
This is actually the greatest idea ever.
Was Kenny Rogers in the Highwaymen?
No, it's Willie and Johnny and
Waylon.
I think there are four of them, right?
Yeah.
And it's also
Siri.
Siri's not gonna know who was in the Highwaymen.
Oh, if Siri knows who was in the Highwaymen, well, how much money will you give me?
None.
She'll know.
Hey Siri. Son of a. Siri, who was
Did
in the
accidentally summon me?
No. Siri, who was in The Highwaymen?
Chris Christopherson.
Oh, I think I'd...
Okay, I found this on the web for Who is in the Highwaymen.
Yeah. She doesn't tell you things, apparently.
Not about the Highwaymen.
Yeah, I think I'd be a good Chris Christopherson, right? Because I have a beard.
Yep. But did you ever see Joyful Noise?
Mm-mm.
There's this moment where Chris Christopherson and Dolly have this duet. And basically, Chris Christopherson's part is him going from here to the moon and back. And it's like, why aren't you singing? You're just saying it.
Because he's Chris Christopherson.
He's a singer.
Freedom's just another word for nothing.
Did he write that?
Lose. Yeah, he did.
Made famous by Janis Joplin.
Yeah, she...
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Who would you be? Waylon Jennings?
Me?
Yeah. It was Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings.
Waylon Jennings.
Johnny Cash and Chris Christopherson. We all want to be Johnny Cash. Yeah. I think you could be Johnny Cash, but you'd be a younger Johnny Cash.
Yeah, because you're tall.
Yeah, you wouldn't be a Highwayman era Johnny Cash, but I wouldn't be a Highwayman era Chris Christopherson.
Well, and I do a mean Mr. Ed. Hello, I'm Johnny Cash.
Can we cut this?
Thank you, Christine.
All right, thanks, everybody.
Time to go.
This is Pop Everything. See you next time.
For they will crush you like a sparrow, leaving you to never meet. Little sparrow, little sparrow, oh, the sun.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.